Today's Branson Show is sponsored by the Bald Knobbers Jamboree on Highway 76 in Branson. Since 1959, the Mabe family has been providing their audiences with a variety of classic country and current country hit songs, gospel music, and comedy. Each year, the Bald Knobbers present a different show, and this year they will feature a more bold, edgy, outlaw style. For show and ticket information, their website is baldknobbers.com. That's baldknobbers.com. Stay tuned for the Bot Radio Network Branson Radio Show, featuring interviews with Branson entertainers, attraction owners, theater managers, dignitaries, and other newsmakers. Here's our program host, Mona Stafford.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We have a beautiful, sunshiny day here in Branson. And the first thing that we want to do is to thank our wonderful show sponsor, and that is the Bald Knobbers Jamboree Show, which is brand new every year. Always featuring a variety of gospel and country favorites, and of course, lots of comedy. For more information, their website is baldknobbers.com. First up today, folks, we're going to visit with Mr. Mark Mulheron, and he is the general manager of the Branson Convention Center. And then we'll hear part two of our interview with Clay Cooper about his long history in Branson. But right now, let's go to our interview with Mark Mulheron. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. And like we've been telling you all week on the promos, we have a very special guest this morning, and his name is Mr. Mark Mulheron, and he is, well, he's the big guy. He is the general manager of our beautiful Branson Convention Center, and I mean that, Mark. I mean, it is beautiful.
Thank you so much, Mona, and thank you just in general for having me on. Very excited to talk with you today.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and as busy as you are, you've taken time out here to come and visit with us. And you know what, Mark? The Convention Center's been here how long?
It'll be 8 years.
8 years. Yep. There are still people who really don't understand what's happening there with the Convention Center, believe it or not.
Yeah.
People coming into town don't always see it because they don't, not everybody drives down, you know, to our beautiful historic area downtown. And so I thought this morning what we need to do is we need to let folks know. We need to let our churches know, and we need to let the pastors, and we need to let family reunion folks know about the Convention Center, because it is outstanding. It's just gorgeous. And I appreciate you so much, because you're working very hard, aren't you?
Absolutely. We, since SMG transitioned the property 2 years ago, mm-hmm. from Hilton, 2015 was the best year financially on record that we had. And we want to keep it going in that right direction. And from the large groups we've seen this year, where we've had citywide convention business, we had Student Youth Travel, which was the CIDA organization.
Yes.
ASCE, another huge citywide convention mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. us and a big win for us. But what's even more interesting and has been great for the city is the stuff that we've been trying to do in the shoulder months, the January, February, and Marches
right.
of the world, and the Novembers and the Decembers of the world. We just came off an amazing VisionCon event, one of the largest events in the Southwest Missouri area, and it's tremendous. And we're walking right into another Sugarbert boxing event where we're going to have over 500 fighters, bringing 2,000 to 3,000, you know, friends, family, and people
right.
to watch them compete. We'll be in 2017. We'll be having a boat show in January. The futsal indoor soccer event, second week of January, normally when this community has been shut down and dark. This past year, we brought 2,500 people, and we brought over 700 athletes, indoor
yes.
soccer athletes, to town to not only utilize the convention center, but also utilize the great downtown area, utilize the great mm-hmm. stores and restaurants mm-hmm. across the street on the landing, and certainly fill up some of the hotel rooms that
yes.
we definitely need.
Well, Mark,
need.
You're busy.
Absolutely.
And you've been doing a lot. You know, I remember when we first met, I was so impressed with you, Mark, and continued to be so. You told me that you were moving to the Ozarks from Chicago, and gladly so. And I wanted to ask you, how's that going? I mean, at that time, your family was still in Chicago, but now you've brought your family here, your children are here. How's that been for you? How's the transition?
Honest to God, it's certainly been tremendous.
Oh, good.
Been down, it'll be officially April 1st coming up. It'll be 2 years, and it's hard to imagine how time really flies.
Yes.
And when you got one of the best buildings out there on the market, and you mm-hmm. have one of the best teams out there in the market, it's really, you know, time flies. And you know, my family enjoys it down here. I have five boys. My youngest was just born. He's four months old.
Oh, my goodness.
And the area has just been very supportive. I think that this town and this community, from every aspect, be it convention, be it social, be mm-hmm, it religious, mm-hmm. be it sporting, the convention center and the city of Branson has so much to demonstrate as a convention destination. And we truly feel that we are right on the verge of taking this center to the next level in this industry. And once we continually push that and get some support in other areas, I think we're heading really in the right direction.
Well, and you've put everything into it, Mark. I mean, here you are, a young, upwardly mobile, successful man, and with a young family, and just to move, I mean, from a metropolitan area to this little town. I mean, we're just a little town. It had to be a little bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, it has, but I think certainly, I guess, as you get older, you get wiser is certainly a good statement. But
yes,
from a
is.
Convention standpoint, I've truly found what I really want to do with my mm-hmm, career, mm-hmm. and I think that that's what's made it possible to come down here. I've worked in eight different convention centers in many different types of cities, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I truly have found what I like to do. I enjoy the convention business. I enjoy the food and beverage business. Our in-house team, SMG and Savor Food Service, you know, I compare them with the likes of St. Louis and Kansas City when it comes to convention food and beverage mm-hmm. in the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what I want to do today is I want to let our pastors, our churches, and our families that are listening, we have very loyal listeners. We have very loyal listeners, and many of them are leaders in their churches and in their church groups, and they're coming to Branson by the droves. We have facts and figures that tell us that over 20, some people say 25% of the groups coming into Branson are faith-based. And so we're talking to them right now. And so I wanted to get from you what you think the advantages would be. Say there's a group that's trying to decide. They don't know whether to go have their convention or their meeting or their concert in Kansas City or in St. Louis or in Branson. What would you say to them, Mark?
For everybody or anybody looking at this area, this is the perfect destination. It's a walkable city. It's a safe city. It's mm-hmm. a friendly city. There's so many attractions within miles of the convention center. We have a great hotel partner next door with the Hilton properties.
Mm-hmm.
And then certainly other local hotel properties.
I mean, and feel safe, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that doesn't happen everywhere anymore.
That's what's really defining our location versus those two areas. We literally, you know, conventioners, guests can walk outside of our front doors or our south doors and just, you know, enjoy the water, enjoy the shopping, enjoy mm-hmm. the restaurants, and just feel safe to walk around, have a good time, and you know, certainly look to come back for years to come.
Exactly. But the other thing I wanted to mention, Mark, is this. When you're staying downtown or anywhere around downtown and you're having your convention there, and by the way, folks, this center can seat up to 4,000 people.
And yeah. I think that's, again, you know, we're refocusing our efforts to bring all types of events here and continually. 'Cause, you know, certainly at the end of the day, these businesses are going to see, you know, huge leaps when we start seeing conventions for 1,500, 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. And that's what our whole goal is. And we've taken looks outside of Missouri, and we want to continually grow convention, social, religious, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. corporate business.
Well, now, Mr. Mark, if we have a pastor listening right now, and I guarantee you we have many, and this pastor or this group leader is really thinking about what they could do with their group, where they could go, where they could have a good time, where they could bring a concert, how would they go about reaching you and talking to you about how to make that happen?
The best way to do is certainly check out our website, mm-hmm. Which is BransonCC.com. You know, that's going to give you basically everything that you need to know about our facility. It is a convention destination and meeting planner's ideal situation.
Well, thank you, sir, Mr. Mark Mulheron. And Lord bless you and your family, your five little children. And I just think it's awesome for you to be here and to be so enthusiastic, you know, about
absolutely.
Promoting Branson.
Absolutely. I certainly, you know, I appreciate it, Mona. And I, you know, I certainly love what I do.
Thank you, sir. Thank
you,
and Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to our guest, Mr. Mark Mulheron. And thank you again to the Ball Knobbers. Folks, believe it or not, they are now entering their 57th year on stage in Branson. For more information for your group or for your family reunion, for your Sunday school class, you can call toll-free to the theater, and that number is 800-998-8908. Folks, a little bit of a community calendar here. You know we're entering into spring break month, and believe it or not, there are so many people who come to Branson rather than going to the beach because we have lots of hotels with indoor pools. I have a few of them here. If you've got your pencil handy, some of those beautiful pools are at these following hotels. And they're all indoors, and that is Branson Towers Hotel, Angel Inn Central, Castle Rock Resort, of course, Chateau on the Lake. Of course, the Hilton Promenade at Branson Landing. Beautiful pool inside. The Honeysuckle Inn and Conference Center. The Hotel Grand Victorian. I could go on and on, folks. I have a whole long list here of indoor pools in Branson where you can come on spring break and the kids can have a ball in the pool and then take in everything that there is in Branson to do. Now, folks, stay tuned for part two of our interview with Clay Cooper. We're going to have lots of fun talking about the many entertainer that Mr. Clay has worked with and has been close friends with here in Branson. Well, you know what I did, Clay? I went through and I made a list of people's names that have been in and out of Branson. Some of them stayed a while. Some of them had... just maybe a few concerts. Some of them had a theater, and I thought I'd just go down the list, and if any of these people, we're just going to go slow here, and I'll just mention a few, and then tell me if you knew them,
okay.
If you worked with them, or what you thought about them being here.
Right.
Okay, here
I'm
we
ready.
Go.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's start with Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
Well, legend.
Yeah.
And I do have a memory.
Good.
We, you know, he was in town a while at that theater behind the Olive Garden.
That's
he
right.
And Merle Haggard was there.
That's right.
And I was in a celebrity golf tournament at Point Reyel during that time when he was here. And they teamed us up with, you know, you didn't know who he was going to play with that day. And I remember they said, we're teaming you up and blah, blah, and you go to T-Box 6 and you're going to start here. We showed up and Willie Nelson was in my team.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. And he had two guys with him that one drove him and the other one just kind of carried his bag out and this and this and that. But playing golf with Willie Nelson, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm playing golf with Willie Nelson. And I'll never forget one of the guys that carried his bag and took his ball in the golf club out there. His name was Pootie. I guess that was his nickname, Pootie.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
So we're out there. We got about three holes into it and it came a downpour. Just pouring, 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 pouring. So it didn't stop Willie, you know, well, none of us, but Willie, you know, the guy parked the cart and he'd run over and open the umbrella on Willie's side and then walk Willie out to the fairway, holding it over Willie's head, and he'd back up and Willie'd hit the ball and he'd put it back over and walk Willie back to the...
So Willie wouldn't get wet.
So Willie didn't get wet.
There you
we
go.
Don't want a wet Willie.
No,
out
we
there,
don't.
You know what I mean?
So
he just falling around and hold that thing over his head until Willie got to the hit.
Was he a good golf player?
Oh, he's a very good golf
was
player.
Was he?
Oh,
see,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's,
I didn't
he
know
does
it.
A lot of golfing.
All
but
right.
That's my Willie Nelson memory.
Okay. How about Conway Twitty?
I've seen Conway, I bet, 15, 20 times in
no
his year.
No kidding.
I love.
Big fan.
Big, 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 big fan. And
yeah.
You know what's so cool about him is he never said nothing. He just, you know, he'd walk out there and that curtain would come up and he'd just – just say that first word and people just go crazy.
They would.
He'd do an hour and a half show and never say thank you or what's going on or welcome or good night or nothing. He just sang. Sang the songs. And, you know, and his whole thing is, you know, he never claimed to be a great entertainer, but he said till the day he died, I've seen several interviews, that all his whole career was all about picking the right song. It was all the song, you know,
and that
is so true, especially back in that day when country songs had a story or a meaning to
it. And his last concert was here.
That's right. That's right. Did the last show, and then
that was the
passed away
thing.
On the way to Springfield.
That's right. And he was with Loretta,
mm-hmm.
you know, at that time.
Oh, man, he was one of the best.
He was. Well, now, I know this next one is going to get some stories, or at least, you know, some that you could tell. How about the Gatlins?
Oh, yeah. Larry, I've been around them several times mm-hmm. over the years and running to them here and there. And, of course, Larry did a duet with me on my album, my duet album a few years ago.
I remember that.
Just came in and just killed it.
Let's play a little bit of that before we go on here.
Perhaps upon that lonely street there's someone such as I who came to bury broken dreams and watch an old love die. If I could find that lonely street where dim lights bring forgetfulness, where broken dreams and memories meet, where's this place called Lonely Street? Where's this place called Lonely Street?
Well, I can understand why you and Larry would be good friends.
Yeah, he's a really, really cool guy. The day we came to the studio, he was actually about 20 minutes late because he was on the golf course. You know, we were sitting there waiting on him. But he came in and had never sang or practiced this song that we did, which was an old Andy Williams record, you know, and just came in and we gave him the lyrics and he just nailed
it. No practice?
Just nailed it.
Well, he's a pro.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I ran into him at Walgreens about midnight a couple of weeks ago. Matter of fact, there wasn't nobody in the whole store, and mm-hmm. I was going down the aisle to get some peanut butter and crackers, and he mm-hmm. was over there getting some almonds or something. He's like, well, Clay, what are you doing out this late? And blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
Talked to him for a minute. He's just a real guy.
Oh,
you know?
Well, we love Larry Gatlin here. We really do. How about Mel Tillis and Pam Tillis?
Well, Pam sang on my duets album as well. We did a Dolly Parton, Randy Travis version of that song.
And of course, Mel's been in your theater now several years.
This is Mel's, fourth year going on. And I tell you what, growing up a huge country fan, I mean, I was, like Barbara Mandrell said, I was really country when
country
wasn't
cool.
You know? And I was. I mean, all my buddies in high mm-hmm. school were listening to, you know, heavy, you know, AC/DC and Def Leppard and all mm-hmm, this heavy mm-hmm. metal stuff when it was really hot. And I was listening to Jones and Haggard and Mel Tillis and all that stuff. So it's really cool for me, later in life and being blessed to be able to do what I'm mm-hmm, doing and mm-hmm. meeting all these guys and singing with them and mm-hmm. knowing them and calling them friends. It's just mind-blowing. I mean, I never take that for granted. And sometimes it surprises me. You know, I look through my contacts on my phone and I've got these people's phone numbers and their friends and we talk. And
that's just amazing.
And having Mel in our theater, he is just the ultimate country music professional. When mm-hmm. when even, you know, some days I walk through and I'm going up to the office and he's on our stage and I just stop and look and go, man, that's Mel Tillis.
That's the real Mel Tillis.
You know, he stands there and he looks like he's 10 foot tall and he's dressed like a million bucks and his band's dressed to the mm-hmm. hilt. And he just stands there with that persona and that stature that just makes you go, man, now that's what country music used to be like.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And every time I pass him backstage, before or in between, at intermission, whatever, he's always got a story that will just make you fall to the floor in laughter.
Oh, we've had him on the show. He's hysterically funny.
He's unbelievable.
And it's just natural.
It's just, yeah. And he tells these stories, you think, man, where'd that joke? Well, it's not a joke. This is stuff that he's done and he's lived and he's seen.
Yes.
You know, and it's just one story after another, and he's so good to my two boys. He loves them. Every time I'm up there, where's them boys at? You know,
yeah.
Bring them out
wants
on the
to
bus.
See the kids.
He wants to see the kids. He buys them. He bought them, you know, a rod and reel for Christmas, and he buys them basketballs for their birthdays.
Yeah.
And you know, he's like a grandpa. I'll tell you a funny story. After Andy Williams passed a couple of years ago, we were having dinner with somebody, and, you know, and at that time my youngest son was about 5 years old, and he goes. Mm-hmm. He hears us talking, you know, I guess in the car and this and that. And we're talking about, oh, man, Andy Williams passed away. What a tragedy. Hate to lose him. And what a great singer and guy he was. And so he hears all that. But he never says, you know, just soaking this stuff up.
This is little Caden.
Yeah. So, yeah, Caden. So about, a few weeks later, we was at a restaurant. And we was having dinner with some friends. And we were talking about what a tragedy, you know, to lose an icon, Andy Williams, in the business. And my little one pops up and he goes, or somebody said, how did Andy pass, this people we were with? And my little guy pops up and he goes, Mel Tillis killed him. But I told Mel that story the next day. I said, you ain't going to believe what Caden said at dinner. He told these people that you killed Andy Williams. And he went, what?
You never know what little ones are going to say or think, do you?
No,
okay, well, now I'm sure that you know Shoji Tabuchi.
I do. Shoji, man, I think he's just a class act, and what a he's a great guy. I mean, for people that's never met Shoji and they've only been to his show and seen what he does on stage, he is as genuine and nice off stage as what he appears on. And he's a great golfer. He's an outstanding golfer and plays great tennis. A couple of years back, you know, every year they have the Hot Air Balloon Festival here in Branson.
Right.
And we always sponsor Balloon. Mm-hmm. They put our name on the basket, and they take me up for a ride every morning. Well, I have to be there by 5:30 or 6 in the morning, get the balloon ready and this and that, and my pilot takes me up, and we stay in the air for a couple hours. Well, we were departing from Branson Creek Golf Course out here, which is now Buffalo Ridge that Johnny Morris owns.
Mm-hmm.
And we took off, got up a little bit, and the wind was kind of drifting us over towards this fairway. And we weren't real high. We was, you know, I don't know, 7,500 foot in the air or something. And I looked down, and I told my pa, there's Shoji on that tee box right there. Seriously. So I said, can you let us down and kind of get right over his head? And I'm gonna scare him. So, you know, and there's no engine. Those things are totally quiet.
I know. You can't hear anything.
No, unless you blow the fire, all you hear is like a, you know.
Yeah.
So we get over, he starts letting us down. And, I mean, we weren't 15, 20 foot, 25 foot over Shoji's head. And he was almost in his backswing.
Oh, no.
He'd got the ball teed up.
Yeah.
And I went, Shoji! I hollered like that. And, man, he stopped in his swing and looked around. And I said, up here. And he looks up and he's like, and he calls me Cray. He can't say Clay.
No,
Cray.
No.
He goes, Cray, is that you?
Cray.
I said, yeah. He said, you don't fall out of there, Cray. Don't fall out of there. And I just kind of waved and took off. And,
oh,
and
that's funny.
Every time I see him, we talk about that. He
I'm
laughs
I'm going to have him
it.
Tell that story.
Oh, yeah. He'll tell it to you.
He'll tell it.
It is a good one.
Okay. Now, Clay, I'm sure these two names, I mean, I know that you're friends with these two guys, Mickey Gilley and Tony Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, a couple of guys that sang on my duet album I put out a couple of years ago. Tony and I did Knock Three Times. And,
well, it sounds like you just snap your fingers and all these big stars show up to record with
you,
Clay.
I have no idea why these guys came and recorded me. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, you could really name drop here.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, Clay, will remember Boxcar Willie. I mean, he was something else, wasn't he?
Yeah, you know, that guy, you know, he had a, what's the word for it? You know, because he dressed the part as the hobo, you know, and that whole deal. And also an American veteran, Boxcar was.
Oh, yes. Very proud of it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
What a patriot.
Proud. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He and Box's son, Larry, and I were good pals. We're the same age, and we hung out a lot during the day when Box was running shows up at his theater here. And spent a lot of time over there hanging out with those guys and knowing Box. And just admiring what he did. You know, he never really had like a hit record or
no.
You know, he did cover tunes and train songs and stuff like that. But the first time I ever went to the Grand Ole Opry, I was in Nashville doing some stuff with a independent record label. I was cutting a record, and I was probably 17, 18 years old, I guess. And we were staying at the Fiddler's Inn across from the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh,
and
my,
I
yes.
came outside to get something out of the car, and I looked about three cars down, and Box's son, Larry, was walking into a room. I hollered, "Larry, what's going on?" He goes, "Oh, Dad's playing the Opry tonight."
Oh.
And I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "You won't come?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah."
Well, yeah.
He said, "Awesome." He said, "You know, who's with you?" I said, "Well, my parents are here." And he said, "Okay, well, meet us over at blah, blah, time, and I'll get you some backstage passes."
Wow. You had to be awestruck, Clay.
It was unbelievable getting to be back there and just brush shoulders with these. You know, I was a kid, and I'm looking at all my heroes walking around and watching the Grand Ole Opry from the wings of the stage
that.
And so that was a big memory for me, you know, that Box got me backstage, and I got to meet a lot of these people.
Well, he was like that. He was such a nice man.
Very nice. And, you know,
we lost him too early.
This guy, he was packing that theater out back in the day, just packing it
yes,
out.
Yes, he was.
It out. And he would go up there and sit in that lobby. He'd sit on that stool right by that front door, and he would sign autographs and CDs and 8x10s and take pictures until that 900th person exited that building. He'd be there for 2 hours.
He did.
You know? I really took notice of that and appreciate
you
the fact that
you do a lot of the same things.
We do the
Clay.
Same thing. I'll
you
stay
do.
There till the last person's gone. And
you learn from the best.
Absolutely, and I believe that's a big reason why I think it's important.
Well, I want to talk about your show, Clay.
Let's do.
You're going to open on March the 4th. Uh-huh. In case you didn't know, I'm just telling
that's
you.
That's good to know.
Okay.
I thought it was
ready.
A week later. So
get ready. It's March the 4th, and you're back in your beautiful theater this year. You're going to be performing a big, big schedule. You start in March, and you go all the way to the end of December. This is going to be a huge year for Branson, I think, Clay.
I do, too.
And so you're ready. Now, who else is at your theater this year?
Well, we have the Haygoods returning
this year.
They're going to be doing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday nights at 7:30 p.m. and some select matinees in the fall. We have, of course, Mel Tillis returning. He starts back in April, and he's got about 50 dates booked throughout the year.
Awesome.
We have a brand new show that my wife and I have created and are producing. We're not in it, but we have putting the show together and producing. It's called Hot Rods and High Heels.
Oh, my.
And it's all 50s music.
Awesome.
We're very excited about it. And that's going to be a 2 o'clock show on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, starting April the 15th.
Okay.
We're very excited about having an all 50s show back in town.
Well, yes. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, for our listeners, if you're getting your group together for spring and you'd like to come to opening night or any of these spring shows, I would suggest that you get ready now because, I mean, our spring breaks here are phenomenal in March. It's hard to get in some of Clay's shows, but you can go online to claycoopertheater.com. And that's theater with an R-E, claycoopertheater.com. You can buy tickets on that website.
You sure can.
Or if you'd like to call and talk to some nice person about your group coming in, your church group, your Sunday school class, your choir, whatever, the phone number to call is 417-332-2529. 332-2529. Or the toll-free number. This doesn't cost you anything. And you can call and get all this information. 877-317-2604. 877-317-2604. Well, tell Tina we love her and hug the boys for us. And thank you so much, Mr. Clay Cooper.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to today's guests, Mr. Mark Mulheron and Clay Cooper. And folks, be sure to tune in next week on March 19th. We are going to do a remote interview over at the beautiful Sight and Sound Theater where they are premiering their new show, and it is called Moses. So I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I hope you'll come to Branson if you can, and I hope you take all your little children to church on Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Bot Radio Network Branson Show with your host, Mona Stafford. Please tune in again next Saturday at 9 a.m. for more exciting news about what's happening in Branson. Today's Branson Show is sponsored by the Bald Knobbers Jamboree on Highway 76 in Branson. Since 1959, the Mabe family has been providing their audiences with a variety of classic country and current country hit songs, gospel music, and comedy. Each year, the Bald Knobbers present a different show, and this year they will feature a more bold, edgy, outlaw style. For show and ticket information, their number is 800-998-8908, 800-998-8908.